The following is a sermon from Pastor Timothy Borman and Sure Foundation, a church located in Woodside, Queens, New York, the world's most diverse community. For more information and for more audio content, go to sure-foundation.org.
Sermon this morning is based on Jonah chapter 1. We'll be reading selected verses, and I just want to invite you to read through the book of Jonah for yourself, maybe when you get home. On the way home, maybe, as we're not going to be able to read the whole book, but we are going to be preaching through the whole book here in the month of November. Let me read this to you, this amazing story about this rebellious prophet. You can follow along there on page 10. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai. Go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed for Tarshish. He went down to Joppa, where he found a ship bound for that port. After paying the fare, he went aboard and sailed for Tarshish to flee from the Lord. Then the Lord sent a great wind on the sea, and such a violent storm arose that the ship threatened to break up. The sea was getting rougher and rougher. So they asked him, "What should we do to you to make the sea calm down for us?" "Pick me up and throw me into the sea," he replied, "and it will become calm. I know that it is my fault that this great storm has come upon you." Instead, the men did their best to row back to land, but they could not, for the sea grew even wilder than before. Then they cried out to the Lord, "Please, Lord, do not let us die for taking this man's life. Do not hold us accountable for killing an innocent man, for you, Lord, have done as you pleased." Then they took Jonah and threw him overboard, and the raging sea grew calm. At this, the men greatly feared the Lord, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows to him. Now the Lord provided a huge fish to swallow Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. This is the word of the Lord. You should know what you're getting yourself into. You should know. It's going to storm in here so badly that you think you're about to die. It's going to rain buckets and buckets, so much so that you're going to just give up on yourself and you're going to say, "Pick me up and throw me into the heart of the sea." And just when you think it's all over, just when you think, you know, finally, I got away from God, he's going to send a fish, a giant swish fish, to swallow you up. And then you will have some pretty uncomfortable accommodations for 3 days and three nights next to a stinking pile of fish. Next thing you're going to know is that you're going to be sitting in a pile of vomit on a beach somewhere. And after you shower and shower and shower to get the stink off, God's going to send you to Nineveh. You know Nineveh? The place that saps your love? Nineveh, the place where there's these people that you're supposed to love? You know, Nineveh, the place that just causes you sadness and anger when you think about it. You'll go to Nineveh. But the story doesn't even end there. Then God's going to sit you down and he's going to question you. He's going to question you like you've never been questioned before. I mean, he's going to question you like you are a murder suspect sitting there in the precinct. He's going to get at you. And then he's going to end the story by hanging this giant question in front of you. A question that confronts you. A question that defies you. And a question that absolutely comforts you. You should know what you're getting yourself into. Because this is not an easy story, and this is not an easy book. And it couldn't be easy. It couldn't be easy because Jonah was such a shipwreck. I mean, he's a total disaster. If you compare him to the pagans in this story, for example, the beautiful pagans, the pagans are absolute angels compared to Jonah. I mean, think about it. One pagan goes to Jonah and he says, Jonah, you know, you should probably pray. Jonah couldn't pray on his own. The pagans, they row and row and row trying to save the life of Jonah, but Jonah, he's just plain suicidal. The pagans who get down on their hands and knees and worship the Lord, the pagans who make vows and sacrifices to him, and Jonah, well, he's just still Jonah. I mean, everyone, if you compare Jonah to them, just makes him look bad. Everything actually makes him look bad, too. I mean, think about it. All of creation sticks up their hand and says, here am I, Lord, send me, send me. When the Lord says to the wind, make a storm, the wind makes a storm. When the Lord says to the lots, you know, lots, I want you to embarrass Jonah in front of everyone, the lots do it. When the Lord says to a fish, you know, I want you to swim by that boat at just the exact moment that you need to be there to swallow up a very distasteful little man, the fish does it. I mean, all of creation, everybody in this story makes Jonah look like an absolute sea monster. Because that's what he is. A rebellious, religious, little sea monster. And you know, we don't even have to get out of verse 3 to know that about him. We don't, because the Lord goes to him. And he says, Jonah, I want you to go. I want you to go to Nineveh. Now, a regular prophet like Moses or Jeremiah or Isaiah, they might express reluctance. They might tell the Lord, I'm a little bit afraid. I don't know if I'm up to it, dear Lord. But not Jonah. You know what Jonah does? Nothing. And you know what Jonah says? Nothing. He just packs his bag, goes down to Joppa, and takes off for Tarshish. I mean, all right. Let's cut him a little bit of slack. Nineveh was Nineveh. I mean, the guys who lived in Nineveh are the Old Testament equivalent to ISIS, right? I mean, these guys that lived in Nineveh, they were famous for their bloodthirsty poetry. These guys are absolute Old Testament thugs. And what is more, Tarshish? Well, Tarshish. Tarshish is a dream. Tarshish is a place of luxury and pleasure. It's where everybody wanted to get to. So it's understandable, right? It's understandable that Jonah would want to get away from Nineveh and get to Tarshish. You know, truth be told, I think the majority of the world spends the majority of their time right down there in Joppa trying to get to Tarshish. A lot of people think that this book is about a call to ministry. Well, it's not. This is about all of our callings, all of our vocations. Some of us are wives, some of us are students, some of us are employees, some of us are mothers, some of us are children. All of us have been called just like Jonah. And the majority of us actually want to get away from those callings. I want you to think about this. Why is it that people are so active on LinkedIn? They want out, right? Why is it that Indeed.com is so popular? Trying to get to Tarshish. Why is it that there are dating sites, not just for single people, but for married people? And why is it that little children can't wait to get to college so they can get away from mom and dad? Why is it that dads sometimes stay at work longer than they need to, even though they know that they have children at home? Isn't it because in our own ways, we're fleeing? It's understandable, I suppose. It's understandable. I mean, Nineveh's the place where we dump out our love over and over again. What do we get back? Nothing. Actually, we do get something back. What we get back is hurt. Nineveh is the place where there are a bunch of people that need grace and mercy. Nineveh is the place that when our minds go there, we think, you know, I don't want to talk to that person. I don't want to see them because all they do is sap my love. And Tarshish, it just sounds so good. There's beach views in Tarshish. The children are obedient. The spouses are amazing. And the employers, wow, do they have nice benefits. The bosses are perfect. Tarshish is, wow, if we could just get there. But here's the thing. Tarshish doesn't exist. You know that, right? But we gotta try. We gotta try to get there. Jonah did. And this is what the Lord did when Jonah tried to get there. Then the Lord sent a great wind. You notice that nobody in the Bible actually makes it to Tarshish? The Apostle Paul doesn't even make it to Tarshish. Everybody who sets out to make it to Tarshish gets stopped by the Lord by an incredible storm. Nobody ever makes it there. We don't either. But this is the part of the story that is so beautiful. It's so beautiful because the Lord takes an act of disobedience from Jonah. And he turns it into salvation for others. Isn't that amazing? It wasn't like Jonah was thinking, you know, I'm going to get on this boat and then I'm going to preach this amazing sermon and this whole ship full of people are going to come to faith. He didn't like carefully prepare his remarks and think to himself, oh, this is my big chance to give my personal testimony. And yet, the Lord takes this disobedient, monstrous, religious person, and he uses him to save these pagan sailors. Isn't that amazing about the Lord? I mean, we spend so much of our lives down there in Joppa trying to get to Tarshish, and meanwhile, the Lord is taking our disobedience and turning it into salvation for others. He's so good. That's God's grace at work. And yet there's even more grace than that because the Lord just won't quit on Jonah. He will not quit on him. He's absolutely relentless with him. Think about this. The Lord sends his word to Jonah. What does Jonah do? He flees. The Lord sends a storm to bring him back. What does Jonah do? He falls asleep. The Lord sends a pagan captain to wake him up and says, "Dear Jonah, you should probably be praying right now." And Jonah says nothing. The Lord singles Jonah out by lot so that he can actually come to repentance. And Jonah says, "Throw me into the sea. I want to die." And Jonah thinks, "I've finally gotten away from the Lord and his relentless love." But the Lord does one more thing, and he sends a giant fish to scoop him up in his mouth. The Lord just does not quit on Jonah. He's absolutely relentless. And he will not quit on you. You know how I know that? Because he sends wave after wave after wave to seek you and find you. Until finally, he sent his son. It's amazing how relentless he is. He sent his son to go way, way, way down into the womb of a virgin. And then later, you find his son in a boat in the middle of a storm, and this time he's not falling asleep in rebellion. He is falling asleep in perfect trust. I mean, his own son threw himself into the rage of God's own fury against sin, your sin, because he would have you. He just will not quit on you. I mean, it's almost like our dear Father scoops us up in his arms. Our legs are running in the opposite direction. He says, no, I will have you. No, you're not getting away, because my mercy, my grace is relentless, and my love is that big and that wide. He will have you. This isn't an easy book. I warned you, right? But maybe I should clarify. This is not an easy book for God. I mean, we bring it on ourselves with our rebellion, our fleeing from the things that God calls us to. But God did not bring this on himself. This is a story about God using every tool in his toolbox to save little Jonas. This is a story about a God who just won't quit on you. And trust me when I say it, he knew exactly what he was getting into. He knew exactly what it would cost him. He knew exactly where he was going to hang one day. But he still went, and he got us. This isn't an easy story, but it is a story that saves us. Amen.